Good morning. It's 8:08 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Janine Etter.
And I'm Brian Edwards-Tiegert. And just as members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus were preparing to visit two border detention facilities run by the Border Patrol on the Texas-Mexico border, ProPublica released an explosive investigation into a private online Facebook group for Border Patrol agents, purporting to have some 9,500 of them among its members. In which they shared remarkably derogatory comments about Latina lawmakers, including sexually explicit cartoons of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and extraordinarily derogatory comments about immigrants in general. This set the tone for what turned out to be a remarkably adversarial visit by those congressional members. You'll recall the interview that we had yesterday with one of them. We're joined now by the investigative journalist behind that report. AC Thompson is a staff reporter with ProPublica. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. How did you get into this Facebook group? It's invitation only.
So, you know, the thing that's important to understand about Customs and Border Protection is that it's not a monolithic agency. There's about 40,000 officers and agents within the broader Customs and Border Protection, about 20,000 at Border Patrol. And there's a lot of people that don't agree with the kind of stuff that was being posted in this group, and they don't agree with the sort of culture that has taken root within the Border Patrol and the broader CBP lately. And so there were people that wanted to share with us what was going on in this group.
Well, how representative do you think the, you know, active posters in the group are of the agency at large? You might have 9,500 members. It doesn't mean they're all participating.
No. And I think that's a thing that's still that everyone is basically still trying to figure out, right? Like, I think it's hard to know what exactly the posts say about the entire culture of the agency. But this is the concerning thing. And that's my point entirely, is that it's not, there are people there that disagree with this. So clearly this is not everyone. But the thing that's concerning, I think, is that when you look at sort of the discipline records and you look at the litigation history involving CBP in the last several years, there seems to be a very unpleasant, very noxious undercurrent there. So when you look at the internal discipline reports for the agency, they all tell you, like, look, we get hundreds of reports of excessive force every year. And they'll also say we only discipline a handful, like about a dozen people out of those. When you look at the number of arrests for the agency, you'll see that about 250 people get arrested. And these are CBP employees every year. If you look, there was a recent Inspector General audit. This was before they audited the detention facilities and reported on those. This was about discipline at the agency. And they surveyed 16,000 Border Patrol employees or CBP employees. And about a third of them said, hey, I have personally witnessed misconduct over the last 3 years. And so I think those sort of data points taken as a whole suggest that there's a deep problem with the culture at the agency.
I think we should probably unpack the three-letter alphabet soup and clarify we're not talking about ICE or Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which picks up people internally for deportation. We're talking about the Border Patrol, which is a subset of Customs and Border Protection. How separate are, like, the institutional cultures of Border Patrol and CBP?
You know, they're sort of one and the same to a certain extent. So basically what you have with CBP is that it was formed in 2003 as an outgrowth of the war on terror, with the reorganization of a bunch of federal agencies and the creation of the Homeland Security Department. And at that time, they took basically the customs officers who deal with formal ports of entry into the United States. And they took the Border Patrol, which patrols the other areas that people cross into the southern and northern, across the northern and southern borders, and put them together along with a few other very small agencies. And I think what we've seen since then is that at first there was no internal policing within the Border Patrol at all. There was not an internal affairs unit, and they actually did not have authority to investigate misconduct by their own agents. This has sort of been a persistent problem since the agency was formed, Customs and Border Protection, that there is just not great oversight of the Border Patrol or of the customs officers who work at the legal ports of entry.
There's a separate issue that came up in reporting at courts this week, and the reporting was largely done from the perspective of Border Patrol agents. And that is that because of the ramp up in the crackdown on immigrants, there's a staffing crisis, forced overtime, forced relocation of agency personnel, and what the union's calling a mental health crisis, escalating suicide levels. Under those circumstances, a few concerns come up. One is you hire people too fast, you can put some real creeps on the force. The other is people under stress can be more abusive than they might be otherwise.
Right. So some of the problems that are still around date back to a major hiring binge that occurred back during the George W. Bush administration. And there were a lot of people hired very quickly, and there turned out to be a lot of problems with some of the recruits and people that really should never have been on the force. We're going through that again right now as the Border Patrol seeks to hire thousands and thousands of new agents.
It sounds like some of them are calling you right now.
They're trying to hire thousands and thousands of new agents right now, and they're having issues hiring all those folks because, frankly, the job doesn't pay what it should. The locations are difficult for a lot of people to live in. A lot of these are fairly remote places, and the work is really hard.
Speaking of A.C. Thompson, staff reporter with ProPublica, broke an investigation this Monday into a Facebook group that purports to have some 9,500 Border Patrol employees participating in it, in which they posted remarkably derogatory posts depicting, for instance, freshman House Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York. Well, the graphic parts would be out of frame, but it appears to be her filleting President Donald Trump. What kind of response have you gotten at an official level from Border Patrol?
You know, what we know is that the agency has referred the matter over to the Homeland Security Inspector General. So the Inspector General for the Homeland Security Department launches most of the major investigations into misconduct at the Border Patrol. They get the first look at any of those serious misconduct investigations. The acting chief at Homeland Security today reaffirmed that they are indeed investigating. So that's the sort of official word that we've gotten. We have reached out to them and said, hey, these are specific agents that were making some of these posts in this group, and we'd like to know if you put them on desk duty, if they've been suspended without pay, what is the current status? And we've not heard back from them about that.
Now, the Inspector General doesn't have disciplinary power on its own.
The Inspector General is going to be the office that, basically the sort of one of the issues I think that you have with the agency in general, right, is that things can be handled by local Border Patrol supervisors. That's, I think, a huge amount of the issues get resolved there. They can be handled by the Inspector General. They can be handled by the Border Patrol Internal Affairs Office, which is short-staffed. They can be handled by the Civil Rights Office at Department of Homeland Security. And on some occasions, they are dealt with by Border Corruption Task Force, by the FBI, and by the Department of Justice. And I think, like, all of these groups sort of having this sort of, there's a lot of oversight bodies for the Border Patrol, but I think given that, actually what happens is that people fall through the cracks and that there's not good visibility into what each group is doing, each different oversight body. And I think that's been a sort of running thread, that you're often better served by having a single sort of body that deals with the police force and its internal affairs and deals with its misconduct by its agents or officers, and then have one body that deals with if they've broken the law, prosecuting them.
Well, you said this is specific misdeeds by specific agents. I'm curious about an editorial decision you made when you posted screenshots in your article of some of the most egregious posts from this closed Facebook group. You blurred out, pixelated the identities of the people who posted them. Why?
Yeah, because there's a few things going on there, and we have reached out to those individuals, and we will likely publish their names at some point. But we also wanted basically we felt like until we spoke to them, we wanted to hold off on that. Until we had some more conversations with DHS, we wanted to hold off on that, and or with Customs and Border Protection. But I do think that their names are going to be published in the near future.
Was the Facebook group discussing in any great detail how to respond to the then looming visit to Border Patrol facilities by the Congressional Hispanic Caucus?
Yeah, that's the thing that's particularly, I think, worrisome, is the very offensive images of AOC were published right before this visit, shortly before this visit. The discussions on there were, hey, we should disrupt the visit. We should take them to the area of the facilities where people have scabies. We should take them to the area of the facility where children have chicken pox and get them sick. We should throw burritos at them. We'll put money in a GoFundMe account and give it to whoever throws burritos at them and disrupts the event. So yeah, there was quite specific discussion, and the women, female legislators who were coming, congresswomen, were referred to in incredibly derogatory terms.
So what is the actual offense here? Talking smack, presumably outside the workplace, on this Facebook group?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, right? So that's a really good question. And honestly, it was a question that we had. Like, you know, you can be sure that people making these comments do not reflect well on an agency, and they suggest that people within the agency have repugnant views. But is that an offense? And what the agency says is this clearly violates our directives towards Border Patrol agents about how they conduct themselves online, whether it's in a private forum or a public forum. They said you cannot engage in this sort of behavior that's abusive, that's hateful towards different groups, that reflects badly upon the Border Patrol.
I take it you still have a window into what's happening inside that Facebook group?
Yeah, I do. And I should just say one more thing, Brian, is I think one thing that may elude folks about this is that if you work for the federal government, your First Amendment rights are somewhat curtailed. That's part of your agreement in working for the U.S. government, is you don't get to say whatever you want all the time, because that is there is a sense that you need to comport yourself to the standards that are set by your government agency. Or if you're in the military, we've seen the same thing there, that the military says, no, you can't just spout off whatever you want to spout off. This looks bad for your branch of the military. You know, the Facebook group declined by 7,000 members.
No way. It lost 73% of its membership.
Yes. And I would take that as a sign that there's a fair number of active agents in that group. And I would also take it as a sign that nobody thought it was going to be a good thing to be associated with it, and they did not think it was particularly defensible.
Was there commentary in the group about your reporting after it came out?
I have not seen that. I've been told there's definitely commentary about it in other private forums for law enforcement agents. The group, I believe, has been rebranded now. And so that's one of the things that I'm being told, is that it has been sort of reconstituted with a much smaller number of members.
How much responsibility does Facebook have? This is being raised in a separate reporting project at ProPublica, but one of Facebook's purported remedies to the spread of disinformation, fake news, and propaganda on its platform is to try to shift user behavior towards private groups like these. The concern from critics has been that just puts the bad actors out of sight. It doesn't take them out of action. Do you think this is a case where Facebook had some responsibility to intervene?
You know, that's, I think this is a problem. And my colleague, Ariana Tobin, has reported on this and helped us report on this. The thing that's kind of remarkable to me is that Facebook was aware of these sorts of really, really vulgar, hateful groups years ago, and that people had been telling them, look, this is a problem. You need to intervene with these secret groups, these private groups. I think generally social media companies have been incredibly slow to address the spread of hateful ideologies on their platforms. And I think when I go to YouTube, because I've done a lot of reporting about white supremacists, it thinks I'm a Nazi, and it gives me like a steady diet of Nazi YouTube channels and white supremacist YouTube channels that are still up. You know, these are openly, overtly white supremacist and Nazi channels. Facebook has a similar problem with actually ridding itself of people who are engaged at times in plotting really aggressive, violent actions towards other people.
And what would you say the core demographic of this Facebook group has been?
You know, from everything that we can tell, the demographic is, like the Border Patrol, is overwhelmingly male. I think a thing that's hard for folks, some people, to wrap their heads around is that the Border Patrol is a very heavily Chicano, Mexican-American agency. There's a huge number of Spanish-speaking Mexican-Americans that work at the agency. And so I think what you see in a lot of these posts and a lot of attitudes that you get there, it's not exactly racism. It is something a little bit different. But it is definitely a sort of othering, dehumanizing, scapegoating and degrading of other people.
And are there any women active in the group?
Haven't come across any.
Wow. I mean, one of the examples you threw up in your reporting was a photo of someone taking their child across the river in a plastic bag. Mm. And the commentary on it was words to the effect of, at least they already put it referring to the kid, mm-hmm, in a trash bag. I reverse searched the photo. It's actually from Vietnam 3 years ago, and it's about how villagers are crossing a river to get their kids to school during flood season. It doesn't sound like the discussion in the group is even that tethered to conditions at the U.S.-Mexican border.
No, I mean, I think what you see to a certain extent there is a sort of war footing, right? There is a tone from the top that is very, very aggressive, that is divisive and demagogic. And it was not the tone you had in the Obama administration. It was not the tone you had in the George W. Bush administration. And I think a lot of what you see reflected in these kinds of conversations is that sort of aggressive, like, we are an army, we are a paramilitary, it is us against the world, and we are doing the president's work.
Yeah. So I guess that's the most terrifying aspect of the reporting, that kind of mentality in the culture of a massive federal law enforcement agency. That suggests maybe it's not just bad apples, but an institution that has gone rogue and would be better off disbanded than reformed?
Yeah, I don't know about that question. I can absolutely tell you though, like though there have been disciplinary problems there for a long time, the mindset set by previous administrations, Republican and Democrat, was quite different.
How so?
I mean, I think that the sort of notion was you're dealing with a dual mission. It is to apprehend people and also to rescue them when they're in crisis. And it's a humanitarian and a law enforcement mission. And you're going to treat people with dignity and respect. And we may view folks as breaking the law. We may be concerned about what's going on, but we're not going to treat people as subhuman. And I think that the current administration, with the rhetoric from the president and certain other members of the administration, has gone in a different direction. And it's gone in a much more personal direction and a much more sort of demagogic direction, suggesting that people are the enemy if they're crossing over the border, and that they're an invading force, and that they are this huge threat. And I think that's just a very different thing. And I think that sort of puts the Border Patrol on a sort of war footing.
Interesting. AC Thompson, we're out of time. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
AC Thompson's a staff reporter with ProPublica. His investigation dropped Monday. It's entitled Inside the Secret Border Patrol Facebook Group, Where Agents Joke About Migrant Deaths and Post Sexist Memes. Again, I think he broke the news during our interview that membership in that once 9,500 person strong Facebook group has dropped by just under 74% since his story went live online. That takes us to 8:30 in the morning. The program's up front. My name's Brian Edwards Tiekert.
And I'm Janine Etter.
And in the second half of this hour, we're going to move from the southern U.S. border to the land border to Europe, on the route taken by migrants leaving the Middle East and South and Central Asia. We'll speak with Yelena Cesar, a researcher at Amnesty International, who's been covering the conditions of migrants who are now, because of the fortification of Europe's borders, getting stuck in the Balkans. That's next.
After the news.